Oh my God, Asterios. I had the most r/trees thought ever.
I want to hear it.
Not r/trees, but whatever the r/trees equivalent for alcohol is. Is there one, like a really smug community of drunks?
No, people don't romanticize alcohol like they do weed.
Well, listen, I think I might have figured out how to.
I'm listening.
So I was looking through the fridge, and I was thinking about, I was like, I want to be funny, and I was thinking about people who I find funny. I was like, Trevor Moore was really funny. I was like, he died. He was young, too. He was like real young. He was like 35.
I know.
He fell out of like a tree or something.
He fell off a ladder. He was like doing stuff with a tree in his backyard. It was
right.
Really sad.
And I looked it up on my phone. It said that there was something in his system. I can't remember. I think it was alcohol. Yeah, like alcohol played a role. A lot of comedians are alcoholics.
Yes.
A lot of comedians are alcoholics and a lot of lawyers are alcoholics. And
yes.
And I thought to myself, there's clearly a correlation between high intelligence and alcoholism. And I was like, bitch. And then I thought about World of T-Shirts and King Cobra. I was like, bitch, if you don't get your, it takes a high IQ to understand Rick and Morty ass upstairs, record the show. Stop smoking and go record the show.
Being drunk is fun.
Being drunk is awesome.
And if you're not having as much fun as possible at all times, how smart are you? How smart is it to be like, I want to be boring, all alone, not social. I don't want the room to spin. When you drink a beer, it turns the world into your Gravitron, which is a ride that I think today costs like $6 or $7 to ride.
Isn't that disgusting?
Yes.
How much it costs to ride rides. That's so fucked up. You should see the prices at Hershey Park, too.
What?
My God. Oh, Lord almighty. It costs like $200 to go to Hershey Park just as one person now.
It costs $200 to go, wow, this isn't nearly as good as Disneyland.
And additionally, they nickel and dime you at every fucking opportunity now. Inside of Hershey Park, it's fucking bullshit. It used to be so simple. It used to be so simple and it was great. You would get a season if you lived anywhere even remotely in the tri-state area. You'd get a season pass and you'd go two times and it would be paid for. If you were a fucking tourist who's never been to New York in your life, you go once, you pay $90 and then you spend your money and you fuck off. And it was everything. You walked in, the only thing you had to pay for is if you wanted like an overpriced snow cone or a drink. And I remember clear as a bell being there with my mom and being like getting cheap food and drinks and that like being our stack. It was so great. Now there's a water park and it's like a fucking cruise, Asterios. It's like a fucking cruise. You have to reserve beach chairs and tables.
At Hershey Park.
At Hershey Park.
You are lucky I'm coming at all.
And they're not free. They're not free. They're not included with the price of admission. You have to pay for the admission, and then you have to go on the internet and pay like $200 extra to reserve your cabana or whatever the fuck. It's such bullshit.
Every time I've tried to price a cabana, I've been shocked, listeners. Shocked. We went on a cruise last year, and I'm like, oh, let me get some nice furniture. Let me get a cabana. And if you don't know what a cabana is like a little hut where you could keep your towels, right?
Yeah, cabana is cruise for money pit. It's
yes!
It's a money pit on four sticks. Something about the presence of a bed on the beach.
Yes!
It's like moss to a felt-covered flame.
Okay, it's a bed on the beach. $1,500 was the cheapest cabana. And it was like, I could go on another cruise for this amount of money. For the amount of money to rent a bed on the beach for 4 hours, I could go on a boat.
Unironically, no shit. You definitely could.
I know. You think I'm exaggerating? I know I often engage in comedic exaggeration on this podcast, but this isn't one of those times. And the cabana prices kept climbing and climbing and climbing. It was crazy. And then eventually they were like, all the cabanas are sold out. And I was like, how? What do you mean
yeah,
there was
cool.
more demand than supply for $2,000 4-hour beach bed rentals?
Oh my God, I remember looking up something like that with my friends. We went on a cruise. It was like not even a cabana on an island. It was like a cabana on Royal Caribbean's branded island. And it was like 1700s. Like, oh my God. God.
You already own the island.
Yes. It's not like you have to rent it from the government.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Royal Caribbean cruise. Royal Caribbean cruise. We were supposed to go on one in December. Listeners, you'll never guess what one of us did just prior to the cruise that made it so we couldn't go on the cruise.
And let me tell you, they were bitches about it, too.
That, you know what? I broke my leg, and of course it was entirely my fault. I broke my leg because I was trying to take a better selfie. Royal Caribbean doesn't know that. I go to the doctor. The doctor writes a note that's like, this guy can't medically travel. His leg is broken in 6 places. We send the letter to Royal Caribbean, and then Rancho take the rest of the story.
Okay, so let me give you a wee bit, a smidge of backstory. Yeah. So to fully understand why I'm so pissed at Royal Caribbean, we got to go back in time a little bit. So me and a couple friends from college went on a cruise with Royal Caribbean about two years ago. Yeah, it was in November of 2 years ago. We had originally scheduled this cruise for November of 3 years ago, but we could not go to that cruise because of COVID-19.
Yes.
Now, I assume, after knowing everything that I know now and having experienced what I experience now, I assume that at some point in time, the government did something right and was like, cruise lines, you better fucking give people refunds. If people tell you that they're sick with COVID or that there's COVID in their area or that they can't travel because of COVID, you had better give people refunds and you better not make it a pain in the ass or else people are going to sue you and we're going to let them.
Yes.
Or something.
That happened.
I remember it was a very simple process getting a refund during. It wasn't even like height of COVID. It was like COVID 2, COVID boogaloo.
Yes.
Like Delta boogaloo or whatever the fuck round 2 of COVID was. It was COVID coming back again because I remember
it
there was
the
like.
The Omicron variant.
Right. It was like a hope spot in a movie. Like, I was like, oh my God, maybe we will be okay to go on this cruise. And then Delta came. I was like, oh my God, no. So that was easy. So I went into this process, naivete, assuming that the proof of the broken leg would be enough. But oh my God, these people are bitches. They kept me on the phone for fucking ever. They wouldn't give us a credit. First of all, what I wanted was just a credit. Like,
we weren't
know.
Asking for our money back.
Right. I was not asking for my money back. I was asking for, like, let's say the cruise cost $2,000. A $2,000 credit.
For
right?
a future cruise.
Right.
We wanted to go on a cruise. One of us broke their leg.
We wanted to. We were literally unable to get on this fucking boat.
Yes.
We got a letter that says we can't go in the fucking boat from the doctor. We got all the paperwork from the hospital being like, this man smashed his leg. So we loaded him up with fentanyl and then he immediately ratted on his fucking fiance about smoking weed.
One of us may have done that to the other.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Listen, who can we blame you for what you do when you're high on drugs? Who among us?
I was fented out of my mind.
Exactly. You were on the fent. Mysterious. 90 days clean. How long has it been? What was the date of the incident?
The date of the incident was October 20th.
November, December, January.
I'm about to get my 6-month chip.
Oh my God, clean congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of you.
As you should be.
Shit, what were we just talking about? I totally lost.
You're high as hell right now, aren't
a little bit,
you?
Yeah.
No, you're not a little bit high. I've never seen you so baked.
Oh, yes, the future cruise credit. So I submit all of this documentation, and it is not enough for these people. They are hanging on to this future cruise credit. And I know that they can give me a future cruise credit because it's literally, they have a trademarked future cruise credit. It is the Royal Caribbean trademarked refund item. Non-cash value, I assume. This is so they can cheat on their taxes somehow. Like, have you seen that conspiracy video on YouTube about how Starbucks is the world's largest bank?
What?
Oh my God, I saw a fucking crazy conspiracy theory of this woman sitting down, like talking to you. And she looks like a totally normal influencer too. It's so weird. She's sitting down talking to you and me. She's like, Starbucks is the world's largest bank, but they're not taxed at all. And then goes on to explain like how Starbucks points are like a form of currency, but because they're not really money, they're not taxed, and Starbucks is somehow cheating on its taxes through this. But the line I remembered really hard is, yeah, and the only reason why there's people serving coffee is for the people who still pay with cash and credit card. And I fucking lost. I was like, does everybody really have that many Starbucks points?
But who would make the coffee? What is she talking about? Someone has to make the coffee at the Starbucks. Anyway, look, I totally buy that. I have 100%. I 1,000,000%. I am giving an interest-free loan to Starbucks when I buy a Starbucks gift card or when I load points into the Starbucks app. If they put that in any just retail savings account today, they're getting 4% interest. And I'm getting what? Stars to use on a future cup of coffee?
Yeah, I get whipped cream points.
Yeah, exactly. On this 9-cent hot bean water that they're marking up 15,000%.
Yeah, so listener, clearly the people at Royal Caribbean's customer service get penalized every time they issue a future cruise credit. The reason why they don't want to issue you the future cruise credit and why they guard those with their fucking lives is because they don't want you to book. Listener, when you buy a cruise, the further it's the opposite of airlines. Like, the longer you wait, the better.
Yes.
Like, if you can buy a ticket for a cruise and leave, like, the next week, you will pay, like, almost nothing.
That is amazingly true. The closer the boat gets to disembarking, the cheaper the rooms become, because the boat's going to take off whether the rooms are full or not. So they're heavily incentivized to just, at the last minute, just try to get somebody in here. And if you've got nothing going on and you can just all of a sudden take a week off not having a job, you could save big.
Yeah, I think that'd be funny as fuck if you're one of those, like, digital nomads.
Yes!
Just go on, like, a 21-day Royal Caribbean. Wait until the day before and then buy the ticket. Like, fuck it. Why not?
The internet is not bad out there. No, you can't watch Netflix, but you can send emails and do Google Docs. You can be on Slack.
Yeah, you can. They very clearly have outfitted it so you can work but not have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to be able to stream.
No, sorry,
but you will be able to use Google Docs.
Which is why when we went on that cruise, we couldn't watch, you know, HBO Max or Disney Plus, but on the internal ship cruise TV, they had old episodes of Invader Zim that were pixelated to hell. And I was like, what bootleg MPEG files are they running on this cruise ship? Old episodes of Strictly Come Dancing, which is the Dancing with the Stars from Britain.
Does the cruise ship, like, have its own cable? Like, I don't know what I was imagining. I guess I thought that the boat would pick up a radio from if we were parked in Jamaica. Like, no. It would just get Jamaican television. Oh, it's just internally in the, like, somebody picked out Invader Zim. That's crazy.
What the cruise ship has is they just have a bunch of giant 7-day-long VHS cassettes that just have just have 7 days worth of British programming, 7 days worth of cartoons. They just license it in bulk and they just run it.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, listeners, there's a little cruise tip, shopping for cruises. Anyway, these bitches held on. I fought with the first layer of customer service and then I got upgraded to her manager. And then I fought with her manager and then I fucking handed her manager off to Asterios. And then Asterios fought with her. And then who did you fight from there? I know you had to fight her multiple times.
I sent them my x-rays at one point. I was like, look at how broken my leg is. My leg is comically broken. And they would not give us a cruise credit. Of course they wouldn't give us a refund. Like, that was laughably out of the question.
Yeah, that was never happening. So then they offered us, like, a percentage, a shit-ass percentage of our original cruise that was, like, laughably small. What was it, 25%?
They offered us 10% of your money in cash or 30% of your money in a cruise credit. And we were like, we gave you $2,000.
Yeah, Jesus.
We gave you
Christ.
So much fucking money.
Yeah, these people fucking suck. So we took their offer to rebook it at, like, a current price.
Yes. They were like, we'll give you 30% of your original booking fee as a cruise credit, or we can book you on a much smaller, much shittier ship that goes nowhere in 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were like, well, any boat is better than no boat because we can't buy a boat with a 30% cruise credit. So we'll go on the fucking Cape of the Seas of the Liberty of the Island. And no, this boat does not go to Royal Caribbean's private island. I want to go to Coco Cay.
I'm kind of excited to be parked in Bermuda for a while because I have heard things on TikTok, and I don't know if this is true, that the nightclub on the cruise ship is something that we missed last time. Like, I've heard that the nightclub around 1 a.m. goes crazy.
Okay.
But I remember going, when I remember popping into the nightclub with my friends, it was like dead as a doornail. I guess we were too early.
Maybe you just gotta go there when the bars close. I mean, all the teens gotta fuck somewhere.
We gotta check it out this time.
I'll go. I'll go to, what's the name of the nightclub? I'll go.
I don't know, Royal Caribbean Fuck Fest.
It's called, like, Paradise.
We were wandering around drunk at, my friends and I were wandering around drunk in the, what's it called, the chapel, whatever the thing.
There's
at the top.
There's a chapel?
Yeah, did you not see the chapel?
No.
We're on the boat. Oh, I gotta take you up. You can freely wander in and out.
I can go to church on the boat?
I think it's so you can get married on the boat.
Okay.
But it's like a church with, like, a stained glass window and three pews, but it's on the absolute top of the ship, so you could, like, see everything, and we were just in there shaking our ass, and somebody came and yelled at us.
You were doing what? What? That's how Opie and Anthony got kicked off the air.
It was a really funny TikTok.
Oh, okay. Well, then don't worry about it. No, you can't do that. That's God's little tiny floating house. What are you doing up there?
Well, we would have shaken our ass in the synagogue and the mosque, but there were no synagogue and mosque.
Thank goodness. That would be worse. It's okay and, dare I say, even funny to mock the Christian faith. Those other two are what I call coconuts no-go zones.
Well, I'd like to introduce you to my religion on this episode.
All right.
Are you interested in my religion?
Okay, let's play the song and cut to it.
Welcome to Loud Podcast on the air. I'm here with my co-host, Hamtaro. Say hi, Hamtaro.
Hi.
Stereos, today we're talking about, do you want to tell the listeners what I have sitting in front of me?
It looks like about 100 of the Hamtaro figurines that you'd been hunting for and searching for on eBay.
I believe this is about 110 original Hamtaro figures. Like, they used to sell, listeners, they used to sell these little Hamtaro pencil toppers, and I don't know why me and my brother were obsessed with them. Hamtaro was one of the few things we were allowed to watch on television. I don't know, because cartoons are for kids, but whatever. But we were obsessed with these things. All of my family photo albums have, like, me and my brother, like, with our favorite hamsters, just, like, sitting around on the beach, like, playing with them.
Really?
It's really cute. Yeah, I gotta ask my mom for some of them. I had, like, a disposable camera, and I would just take pictures of the hamsters in the sandbox over and over and over and over and over again.
Oh my God.
And then I remember getting the film developed, and my mom even getting mad at me one time because it was literally only, it was every individual hamster that I owned in the sandbox. Like, I made a little pit or something for them to sit in. And I was like, I want a portrait of every one of them in there.
You needed them for posterity.
Yeah, but I burned through like 2 digital cards.
Oh, what a look. Who cares about these? The hamps, look. Cameras are impermanent. Hamsters are forever.
Hamtaro was great. Hamtaro was good television. We used to be a country. We used to be a country that imported great media like Hamtaro. We didn't make it, but we made it our own.
It's Hamtaro time. Hamtaro. Little hamsters, big adventures, loudest podcast.
Oh, that's great.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay, here's what I like about my life recently. I'm a 41-year-old man. I'm about to turn 42, I think. I constantly forget my age. My mom has to remind me, and that's not a joke, that's a fact. The other day, Rancho's like, I'm looking for the Hamtaro hamsters. I'm looking for the Hamtaro hamsters on eBay. Listeners, you might remember she's been looking for the Hamtaro hamsters. She's found not one, not two, but 110 of them.
All of the sellers came through at once. So I've been obsessed with these little stupid fucking hamster figures.
I think they're adorable. Don't call them stupid. Don't you dare call Dexter stupid.
I think this is Stan.
I don't know their name.
Yeah, we're going to get all into this, listeners. So when I was a kid, I was absolutely obsessed with this weird-ass cartoon called Hamtaro. It's about hamsters. It's anime made in like the late 1990s. It was about hamsters, and they like had a little secret underground society. Like, all of them lived in cages, but they could very easily escape the cages when the owners left. So I would imagine that my hamster would do stuff like that.
Imagine the Smurfs with far less conflict. Look, as a kid, I'm watching the Smurfs, and there's 100 Smurfs, and they all got different personalities. Gargamel was constantly trying to catch them, cook them, and turn them into gold. I'm watching Hamtaro. They're these little hamsters going on these little tiny adventures. There's an episode where it's Halloween and the conflict is, what are they going to dress up as? But it don't matter because they all dress up as something fun. And in the end, everybody wins. What are some Hamtaro episode plot lines, Rancho?
Yeah, they're all very simple. They're like, they get lost very frequently. They get left places very frequently. Like, they get left at the beach one time. That's pretty fucked. Because why'd you bring your hamster to the beach in the first place? That's crazy. I remember asking my mom to bring my hamster to the beach. She was like, absolutely the hell not.
You had a real live hamster?
Yeah, I did.
What was your real hamster's name?
It was like Jeffrey.
So is that why you liked Hamtaro so much?
No, I had the hamster first. And then I think that's why I got hyper fixated on Hamtaro, though.
Okay.
But I had Jeffrey and I took Jeffrey. I don't remember how Jeffrey died. I don't think Jeffrey died in a weird way.
Okay.
I think Jeffrey just died of natural causes. Because, you know, everybody has like a weird hamster death story.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay. I never had a hamster. I was never entrusted with any living animal. For good reason. This hoodie that I'm wearing today that Ranger got me for Christmas, three different times at three different points I've spilled something on this hoodie just today.
Yeah, that was crazy that you went outside like that.
This is a very expensive hoodie. At one point, a bird shit on my chest and I just didn't realize it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's good luck though, isn't it? Or does it have to happen on your head?
It's good luck. Of course it's good luck. Anything to do with any bird is good luck. Birds are great.
When I was in school, the girl... I remember going over to a girl's house in middle school. She had a hamster that lived in a ball. It didn't have a cage. It just lived in a ball. I remember that because we were playing with the hamster. Like, I got to her house and she was like, the hamster was out. So we was like, oh my gosh, you have a hamster. And so we played with the hamster for a little bit. And then I was like, oh, okay, where's this cage? I'm going to go put the hamster. She's like, what? He lives in the ball. You can just put him back in the ball. I was like, what?
Where does the hamster poop?
Fuck you, man. He lives
in the ball?
Yes.
So this hamster is running around in a globe of its own shit?
Yes.
It's like the worst possible Magneto. I don't like that.
Its own shit and piss like some
in a toilet
up,
ball.
Like Marquis de Sade Katamari thing. It's so fucked up.
Okay, now I'm liking it, actually.
Anyways, I've been hyperfixated on Hamtaro since I was a child, and it recently passed into my memory again, probably through TikTok, just through the effervescence. So they got me to consume. So I bought all these hamsters off eBay, and I'm pretty interested. I got Asterios to watch a couple episodes of New Hamtaro and Old Hamtaro. Well, we didn't watch new episodes of New Hamtaro. We watched a new movie, and I think you can notice the dip in quality.
Interestingly, I really, really liked the Hamtaro movie we watched. I know that... I'm no Hamtaro purist, as clearly you are. When Hamtaro was airing on television, I was like in high school and I was just like, oh, cool, there's an anime on. Like, I just liked that there was anime on in general. And then I was like, all right, I got time to go to school. I didn't realize that there were actually two Hamtaros.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. Listen, if you are one of the people like me who has fond memories of Hamtaro as like a chubby, cute little hamster, especially, and this is a deep cut, if you had one of the books... I'm not talking like the shitty book that they made like with cutouts and crap just to capitalize off the TV. I'm talking like the books about hamster care, the Hamtaro books about actual how to take care of your in real life hamster. And you like the cute, chubby designs on that thing. You will be sorely disappointed at the new Hamtaro design. It's so fucked up. I finally know exactly what these purists are talking, what these fucking dweebs are talking about when they... bitch about the new Powerpuff Girls or whatever. Let me tell you, the new Hamtaro, he's on Ozempic. He has a neck. He's fucked up. He's on antidepressants. He is so sluggish. He is not in control of his destiny at all. They have him on Adderall. They have him drugged out and making these stupid movies that are half CGI dance scenes. He barely does anything. He barely did anything in the plot of the Hamtaro movie. That's so fucked.
It's interesting because most of Rancho's special interests, like, horrify me. Like, she'll be like, yeah, there are these two brothers that are on My 600-Pound Life that, like, terrify their father and, like, call the cops on their dad when he doesn't buy them pizza. What are they named, like, the Primanti brothers?
I thought it was the Primanti. The Primanti brothers is sandwiches.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact, the Primanti brothers is a chain of sandwiches with that they put... chips on, not chips, ooh, french fries.
Oh!
On top of, I think it's the Asante.
The Asante brothers.
But yeah, those are, I thought that one was dead. Steven Asante, turns out he's still kicking.
Yeah. Or you'll be like, oh, I like King Cobra's new girlfriend, Queen Cobra, who's clearly trying to get impregnated. Like, all
like
of
Cobra babies.
Yeah, so they could have Cobra. Like, all of Rancho's, like, interests are horrifying. Like, here's a guy that sues sex workers. So Rancho's like, I'm really into Hamtaro. And I was like, I want in on this. So recently we've been visiting, what's the name of this website?
Ham Ham Paradise, one of the most organized, oh man, one of the only good things left on the internet. Ham Ham Paradise is great. It's got so much. It has every single episode of Hamtaro dubbed just like on somebody's Dropbox or something. Didn't you open it up and you were like, oh, this is just somebody's computer?
Yes, it's somebody's like Microsoft OneCloud account. It's awesome. Imagine just like somebody filling a Google Drive with every episode of a cartoon and going like, enjoy everyone. It's so adorable. The Internet Archive has like every Hamtaro NES game. Like it's got all these emulators and ROMs. And then I think there are like 6 or 7 Hamtaro movies.
Yeah, there's a lot of Hamtaro movies, most of which were never translated into English by Viz Media. So we get awesome subtitles. Another thing. Oh my God, this brought me way back. So we've been watching Hamtaro. Just my refueled interest in Hamtaro has led me to watch Hamtaro. So I put on an episode of Hamtaro subbed the other day. But at one point, they're singing like a song or something. The hamsters in the movie are singing a song. And the subtitles, instead of translating it, the guy writes, I'm sorry, I didn't translate this. And then the next line, I didn't translate this because I didn't know how. Beat, my Japanese isn't very good. I fucking love those things. Those are great. It brought me way back to the early 2000s when you'd be watching like acid wash VHS tapes in somebody's basement with subtitles by a guy and they just put inside jokes to their friends at the end of it that no one would understand. At the end of the movie, he goes on this whole, he's like, it's like, Hamtaro, da-da-da. And then you say, this was translated by Andre, beat, I'm sorry, my English isn't very good. Beat, I tried really hard to translate most of it. I've been taking Japanese classes. Beat, like he just info dumps his life story at the end. It was great. I really appreciate that. You keep doing that, Andre.
No, I appreciate it too. And look, I didn't watch a ton of anime when I was a kid, but at one point, fan subbers were like making fun of other fan subbers in the subtitles. Do you remember this?
Oh yeah, there's a infamous Dragon Ball Z one that's like at the end. It says like Dragon Ball Z copyright this date, translated by Frank's Subs, beat. And if you don't like it, Mark, go buy it from somewhere else.
Yes, exactly. Someone taking the time out to just roast another fan subber. Like, that's how small and insular this community was.
And the comedic timing is so good because usually in the background, they put it over like the end credits. So they'll be like, just a song about friendship and love. And in the bottom, you see, if you don't like the way that I'm translating, Mark, pay somebody else to fucking do it. Or, I'm sorry, I can't speak English. Friendship Hamtaro. I do this in my free time after school in Brazil.
Yeah, so it's so cute to like watch these kind of like relics from the 90s and the 2000s. I really, really enjoyed the second Hamtaro movie. It's the only Hamtaro movie we watched. I don't know. Oh, right. We started with Hamtaro movie 2. Which is, I think, called Hamtaro and the 9 Princesses. And we started with that because those are the toys that you bought, right?
Right. So one of the sets of figures that I bought came with a bunch of these little genie things. Yeah. And I was like, I don't recognize these characters because a lot of Hamtaro, Viz Media just abandoned. Because yeah. It just was not the vibe anymore, I guess. So they never got translated. So as a kid, I had no access to them. This was way before like the internet was a thing I could navigate. So I wanted to learn who these characters are. Turns out they're nobody. Yeah. This movie sucks ass.
I loved the movie. Couple of days, you've been bashing this film in ways I don't understand.
I finally understand what the Avatar The Last Airbender people feel like. Like how they never shut the fuck up about anything ever. Like, I understand, because they fucked up this Hamtaro movie. And it's not even like a Netflix remake. It's just like another Hamtaro property that came out 10 years later, completely cucked. Not even the same Hamtaro.
Okay, well, look, let's get into the film. And then maybe as we discuss the plot of the film, you can explain to me how it's not the true Hamtaro, and how when they fired Lauren Faust from Hamtaro, it ruined Hamtaro, or how Hamtaro's woke now, or whatever.
Listen, I think some of this might also be Andre's fault.
Okay, and you know what? It may honestly be Andre's fault. Andre, you get fucked. All right, so the movie opens. Hamtaro is in his little cage. And his little face is he's sleeping, he's chittering in his sleep, and he's having a dream of a beautiful lady hamster up in like an Arabian castle.
Right, she's in a tower, and she's like, help me, Hamtaro, save me, Hamtaro.
Yeah, now I couldn't really read the subtitles because they were
cut off at the bottom of the page.
They were cut off at the bottom of the screen, and also, Rancho has all these like decorative tangerines. In front of the TV, just like candles and tangerines in front of the TV, and they're all placed exactly where you would read the subtitles,
which is really inconvenient because we do watch a lot of things with subtitles. Yeah, and tangerines are always in the way.
But look, anytime I watch something that's in a different language, I'm kind of like, I almost don't want to read the subtitles. It's like I want to just kind of see if I just want to vibe with it. Like I'm not here to take this too seriously.
You're not here to understand the plot at all.
No, I want to watch him run around and jump around. It's kind of like when I saw that One Piece movie in the theater with you. I was like, I don't know who these characters are. I don't know why it's important that they're meeting. Every other character is introduced during this One Piece movie. Like, people are gasping or clapping. Like, the audience is going nuts. There's clearly a lot of fan service happening. And I'm just like, yeah, this is good. This guy's made of rubber. This is pretty fun. But anyway. So, look, I'm watching this Hamtaro movie. Hamtaro is dreaming of a very pretty princess up in a castle.
And then he wakes up. We see that Laura is packing for a trip. I think in Japanese, I saw on the board, her name is Hiroko, but she's packing for a trip and she's not going to be here the whole movie.
Yeah, she's going to abandon her hamster for a week, and it doesn't look like she's left him with any food or anything. Maybe at this point in the story, Laura just realizes, like, Hamtaro regularly escapes his cage and runs to an entire clubhouse that was built by a hamster named Boss that is filled with food.
Yeah, when she starts talking about how she's going to go to her grandpa's house for a significant period of time, I was like, oh, this is going to be cute. We're going to go to the grandparents' house and the hamsters are going to be in the woods or something. But no, she just leaves the hamster. How long can you leave a hamster alone? Is it like a cat where you could just leave it for weeks at a time and it's fine?
I don't know. They seem pretty delicate. You always hear stories of like someone dropping their hamster just a little bit and then all that hamster's bones breaking and then having to go to their like, mommy, why won't the hamster wake up? Like, you always hear stories about someone hugging a hamster a little too hard and then ruining their childhood. Hamster dead, childhood over. It's my understanding of hamsters.
Yeah, that's pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's how hamsters work. So Laura is going to fuck off for an entire week with her parents over to her dad's house in the middle of the woods, giving Hamtaro plenty of time to go figure out what this dream is about. So he escapes his cage and he goes to hang out with the other hamsters. And he's talking about how his and all the other hamsters are in the Ham Ham Clubhouse. And he's talking about how Laura is going on vacation and how he's bored. Like, what's prompted them to open the book in the first place? Was that established?
My guess, and again, I did not read the subtitles.
I don't think Andre did a very good job with this part.
My guess was that, like, Hamtaro was like, I had a weird fucking dream. Like, I dreamt about, like, a lady up in an Arabian castle, and she looked like this. And then there's this, kind of like Brainy Smurf, there's like a super intelligent, like academic hamster.
Maxwell. Has a book, and he's like, this reminds me of the homeland for hamsters.
Yes.
And he opens it up, and he describes the homeland for hamsters, which is just, if you ever seen the movie Aladdin, it's just that. It's just Agrabah with their hamsters.
Yes, it is the ancestral, it's like their ham-ham homeland, I think is what they call it.
Their ham-ham homeland.
And she's like, you know what? There's an incantation in this book that can summon a ship that can bring us there. And it's like, what? I didn't know you guys had, like, access to blood magic. Like, every time I watch an episode of Hamtaro, it's kind of like, we found an apple that's too big. How can we get this big apple into our little clubhouse? And this time they're like, let's open an interdimensional portal to the year 9696 BC. And by the way, he did translate the year right. Remember, they go back to the year like 82, 82?
Yeah, he does get the year correct. But the Hamtaros in the book, if they build some type of magic sandcastle, then a ship will abduct them and take them to Agrabah. So they do it, and Andre isn't able to translate the song for us. But it's okay. It's just like hamu, hamu, and then a verb. Like hamu, hamu, sweeping. It's just stuff like that.
Right, you know Japanese. You could have translated this song better than Andre.
Yeah, I could pick up what they were saying.
Damn!
But what was I saying? So then next, this actually works somehow. And the ship comes and grabs them and takes them away to, I don't remember, what was the name of the town? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but a magic carpet takes them there.
Oh, a magic carpet, that's
they
right.
They build like an ornate Arabian castle with like the big onion top things like in Aladdin, you know, like,
yeah, the big onion top,
you know, the thing, look, it looks out of sand, it looks crazy. They build like a sandcastle that would win any sandcastle competition ever, and then they like they stare at the castle like, I guess this didn't work, fuck. They only wait like 1 second to decide it didn't work, by the way. Like, they build this thing and they're like, I guess magic's not real. I guess it was just a dream. And then immediately the ground starts shaking, the earth starts quaking. They are lifted up by a flying carpet. And then the flying carpet brings them like up to the sky and spins around real fast. And then boom, they're in the year 8989 BC.
That was great.
The carpet like flies over like an Arabian marketplace, and there's like hamster selling sunflower seeds and like carpets, and there's little hamsters are like giving other hamsters dates and fruits and nuts, and it's all super adorable.
There's also a DJ hamster, which I want to know what his deal is. So if anybody knows what his deal is, please send us an email.
Yes, that's right. There's a DJ hamster, and the DJ hamster's like, hey, everyone, we got like the greatest act in the world right now. Like, please welcome the hamster princesses.
No, and then they have the mini hams, and the mini hams are fucking bullshit. The mini hams are those little CGI things. You remember the big dance number in the middle of town?
Those weren't the princesses dancing?
No, those were the mini hams. There are no prince. There's one, exactly one princess.
Wait, there's one princess and eight mini hams because they all look identical.
No, there's four mini hams and then they rub bottles like genie bottles of some kind. And these things come out. I think these are genies.
There's four mini hams, six genies, and a princess.
Yeah.
You see how much value you're getting for your Hamtaro movie? That we've just introduced like 20 cute, adorable lady hamsters.
So they play this gigantic music number that's supposed to be like some kind of town performance with the mini hams who they met in the last movie. I guess we'll have to watch that because I hate the mini hams, but I digress. There's four little fat CGI hamsters. And when they meet them, we establish that you even said, what are those? And I said, I don't know. I guess we met them in the last movie.
Okay, so the mini hams sing a song about like how great it is and how much fun it is to be a hamster and it's hamster time or whatever.
Yes.
And then the mini hams rub lamps and then genie hams come out of the lamps and they're all like, yeah, it's a great town. This town rules. It's a lot like the opening of Beauty and the Beast where there's just like a song about how great everything is and how it's a cool town.
I don't even remember what they were singing about or if they were singing about the town or just Hamtaro, but no, because it was so ugly.
I like those little hamsters.
It was so ugly. I hate those. That's the one with the American flag bandana.
One of them has an American flag bandana in the year 9393 BC. So, like, clearly she's instrumental to the formation of the Republic.
Yeah, wait, does that mean that the other hamster movie took place back in time? Did they actually go back in time on the magic carpet, or did we just go to present day wherever the fairy tale took place?
Oh my God, I don't know!
Because if we're traveling back in time, okay, I believe that Maxwell's magic book can do that, but it's pretty convenient that the magic hams can also travel back in time and also happen to do it at the same time we did.
Honestly, it's not a coincidence that the mini hams are there, because the mini hams were booked by the DJ Ham as entertainment. It's like Marketplace Day.
Yeah, and you don't think that's convenient that like the Hamtaros happen to unlock the book that happens to be there the day that their friends are going to interdimensional time travel to perform at a marketplace for seemingly no reason?
Okay, no, you got me there. No, that's a that's a really good point.
Whatever, I digress.
All right, so anyway, so they sing a song about how great the town is. Uh-oh, conflict time. The town is attacked by a giant cat.
The giant cat is a pervert and steals the princess. It's like, he's, hey, I'm going to force you to marry you, which is like weird because usually you do that like as a political alliance thing, not as like a, I just want to marry you type of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Of course I do.
He takes her back to his evil castle and the Hamtaros are like, well, we got to help out with that. So they consult with the police officer hamster. What was that thing's name? Did that thing have a name?
There's like a hamster captain of the guard. There's a king hamster who's like, oh, fuck, this giant cat's got my daughter. Oh, shit. Oh, hell. And then there's like a hamster in charge of the military who drives a flying limousine.
So they take the flying limo to the castle. Meanwhile, at the castle, the princess has managed to get the cat to fly away because she was like requesting sunflower seeds in another castle or something.
Yeah, the princess is like, I'd love to marry you. And by the way, she does not want to marry this cat, okay? This is a ruse, listener. The princess hamster is like, I'd love to marry you, but first I want the rarest sunflower seeds in the world from the tallest mountain at the highest peak at the coldest time of winter. And the cat is like, I will absolutely demonstrate value by doing this. And then the cat takes off, and spoiler alert for later, the cat comes back with these super delicious sunflower seeds.
Right?
So he cares!
He actually did it. But that gives us enough time for our protagonists to go and get separated from one another while they're in the castle. The Hamtaros get distracted by a very large pancake and then get trapped in a net, which solves the very frequent problem we have in Hamtaro, which is how do we separate Hamtaro from the rest of the cast organically? Like, there has to be a way that, how do you capture 11 people simultaneously and make it look normal? But they get distracted and run down a hallway, and Hamtaro runs up to the top of the bedroom, she's there and they're going to escape, but she's doing the classic woman thing where she can't pick out, here, let me, I'll have King Cobra explain it for you. Hang on. Don't you hate it when you're about to pack and you gotta leave because the evil flying cat is coming right now, and you say, honey, dear, can you get going, please? Can you hurry it up? And she's like, I can't pick which pair of shoes to wear. So you're like, dear, can you please hurry it up? Because if you don't, we're going to get fucking killed. So yeah, she does that thing. They spend so much time packing their suitcase that as they're exiting, they're confronted by the cat.
Which I thought was really funny. This hamster princess is hilarious. She's trying to figure out what, like, lipstick to wear. She's packing, like, all these dresses for her escape. And Hamtaro's like, oh, we gotta go. I love this princess character.
I don't know. It seems like Hamtaro doesn't really do much. Hamtaro stands around and looks at her and doesn't even do much to explain the situation. But she's like, oh, my God, another hamster? I guess I can run out the door now. I wasn't capable of doing that before, but I'm going to talk about my ex-boyfriend a bunch while I'm doing it. Her ex-boyfriend was in town a while ago, and he was the last one who managed to seal away the cat, because the cat is a genie that goes into a lamp, and he managed to seal the cat into the lamp previously, but he's gone. He disappeared. When the world needed him most, he vanished, and now the cat's out again.
This lady hamster is talking a lot about her ex-boyfriend, and she's like, my ex-boyfriend was super cool, but then the lady hamster is also like, but I like you too, and we should also get married, Hamtaro.
And it like a cuck, he just sits there and says, heck eh?
Yeah, it's so cute. So Hamtaro and her start running away, and they're carrying all the princess hamster's bags and things, and the cat comes back with the sunflower seeds. And the cat's like, oh, shit, you're trying to escape. I'm going to capture you. So they, like, run between the cat's legs, and they're running down the stairs. And then Hamtaro sees all his friends are still caught in the giant net. And Hamtaro's like, oh, we should actually rescue my friends, too. And then, like, God, I don't know, they shoot through the net. And, like, there's just a lot of running and running around. And then eventually they get back to the flying limo, and they fly back to town.
Where they make it to their safe house. Where we meet the king. Is he the king?
Yeah.
The weird guy with the headdress.
Yes.
He's the king. And it turns out he has an instrument that will save us all from the magic cat. It's a magic flute and a lamp that he can be sealed into. And it was in the trunk of the car the whole time.
Yes. They had everything they needed to defeat the cat at the castle already. That they escaped from. So they have to then go back to the castle again, where the princess is captured again.
And you won't believe who has to play the flute to save her.
The king tries to play the flute to save her, but can't play the flute. And I thought it was going to be like, oh, only Hamtaro can play the flute to seal away the cat. Like, it's like Hamtaro's like, I thought it was going to be like that. Oh, Hamtaro's like the Jesus figure, like the legend of all, like the savior of this town. No, the problem was that there was like a stick caught in the flute. And like, so Hamtaro like blows on the flute real hard and then the stick pops out. And then Hamtaro could play the song. So anyone could have played this song.
Right. So at any point, anyone could have played this flute. And
yes.
It would have solved the problem. And they didn't even try it.
No.
You can tell because it immediately works after they remove the stick. Like, it wasn't some, like, chosen one thing where they couldn't find the right person to do it. I don't know why they didn't play the flute earlier.
It takes two attempts. Which is, again, something I like about Hamtaro. They don't really dawdle. It's like, they try, it fails, they're like, oh no. They try immediately again, it succeeds. This cat's like, oh no, oh God, I'm getting trapped in a big jar now, oh hell, oh fuck. And then they just lock the jar in the back of the trunk, like in a Tarantino movie, and everything is fine.
And then her and Hamtaro are going to get married, the princess and Hamtaro. Hamtaro, who's just going along with everything because his Ozempic'd out brain has been rotted out. It's like, you know how when you don't eat for too long, you like can't work and you're like frustrated and you're foggy and can't think? It's the same thing. They have him on such a harsh diet that he can't think. He's going along with this wedding until this bitch's ex-boyfriend just pops back out of fucking nowhere. And she's like, oh my God, I would much rather get married to you. And that will maintain the status quo. So they do.
It's really interesting because Hamtaro is attracted to this princess. Hamtaro is dreaming of this princess. Like, Hamtaro, like, wants to rescue this princess. Then the princess is like, I want to marry you. And Hamtaro immediately hesitates, like you would in real life. Like, there's a difference between having a crush on someone and wanting to marry them forever. And I thought that was really adorable. Hamtaro's like, okay. And Hamtaro's like, kind of like, I'll marry you so that you don't have to marry this cat. But Hamtaro doesn't seem jazzed about the marriage. So when the magic flying dog that the evil cat was riding around on.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention that. The cat had an evil flying dog and it went to jail, but then it escaped because it was good the whole time.
Yeah, it was a magic flying dog and that the cat chained up in a dungeon between magic flying rides. So they're about to get married and then they go down to the dungeon and they're like, oh, we should probably free that like magic flying dog. And they go down there and then the chains are empty and they're like, okay, let's get married anyway. And they're about to get married. The king is like literally about to pronounce the man and wife when all of a sudden her ex-hamster boyfriend comes out of nowhere and is like, I'm back. Because it turns out the magic flying dog was her boyfriend the whole time.
Right. Like, and he's been under control of the evil cat. So he's been tortured and like forced to attack the hamsters. But he was good the whole time, y'all. And now he's here to cuck Hamtaro, to which he does. effortlessly. Avatar doesn't put up any fight. And he just goes home. It's like, relieved. He goes home to his sunflower seeds. Like, hey, Laura, how was your weekend with your grandpa? I almost got married.
It all works out perfectly. Avatar does not have to marry this lady who, again, he finds attractive. He doesn't know if he's ready for a lifelong commitment in a magical realm. He would never see Laura again. You understand this, right?
But he doesn't, like, say or do any of that. He doesn't, like, say, wow, I would miss my friends or Laura. He just kind of sits there. His brain is rotted. He has, like, basically two lines in the entire movie.
I mean, that's kind of what I like, is that he's very inert as a protagonist. He is willing to get married and then also willing to not get married. He feels equally ambivalent about both choices.
Well, after having seen the original Hamtaro episodes, do you see what Hollywood has done to my boy?
I understand why you are disgusted. In the second episode of Hamtaro, like, a giant cat is about to eat this, like, little tiny hamster. And Hamtaro, like, runs in front of the cat and waves his ass in the cat's face and, like, distracts the cat and then chases the cat into a river and, like, pretty much drowns this cat, like, right in front of us. Like, the Hamtaro from the cartoons is this dashing, daring do little, like, shit starter.
Right.
And then the Hamtaro in the movies is kind of like Forrest Gump, like, he's along for the ride.
He's drunkenly stumbling into his limousine, and that's the only way he can get away from the cat. Ridiculous. It's so sad what they do to child stars.
I liked it. I thought it was really funny that it's like, why does he want to rescue the princess? Because it seems like something to do. There's like thousands of hamsters who could have rescued this princess. There's like an entire hamster royal guard that could have rescued this princess. But Hamtaro is like, I'm here. Oh, yeah, I'll go. I'll go check it out.
It really feels like there isn't a Hamtaro Royal Guard. I mean, the Royal Guard didn't even know that the shit was in the trunk.
Well, I mean, look, are you going to tell your Royal Guard? A king's got to have some secrets, you know what I mean?
I guess that's true. Ridley wouldn't have helped them either because he was parked outside while they were inside. He was just parked in the getaway driver spot.
Yeah, no, that is true. And so, okay, but anyway, look, Hamster Aladdin marries the Hamster Princess, and then there's fireworks, and then the genies and the ham babies come back and they sing that same song from before again.
And they do the CGI with rehashed assets and it's so bad. It looks so fucking ugly. And I understand this was made, what, 2008?
Yes, it was made in 2008. I remember it being post 9/11.
But it's really bad.
Right. And the reason why I remember it being post 9/11 and that being a thing is that the king's name is Osama and they say it a lot.
Oh, really?
They're like, Osama Ham. Ham Osama. Remember, I saw that in the subtitles and I was like, is this like a joke? Is this like a bad subtitle? And you were like, no, listen, they're saying, in the Japanese, they're saying Osama.
Quote, the reason why I knew the Hamtaro movie took place after 9/11.
That is why I knew. Because I was like, if you know 9/11 happened, it would be like making a movie in 1955 and naming the main character Hitler. It's just, it's a name we have to chill on for a while. I get that it's a very common name. I get that, like, one dude has ruined this name for everyone. I'm just put it on ice for a bit.
So you think that was a political move by whatever company made this?
No, but I do think that Japanese culture has shown us time and time again that they're pretty cool with, like, just kind of having some of these things in there. Like, is it like one of the Persona games famously has a character named Fuhrer and it's just Hitler?
I don't know. Don't look at me, buddy. Don't look at me for approval on this. Look, I don't know about Hitler persona.
I'm not asking for approval. I'll give another example. Like, one of my favorite wrestlers, Asuka, she's in the WWE. And it's like, she's a great wrestler. She's flipping, she's flopping. There's pictures of her, like, from 7 years ago dressed up like a full Nazi. Like, her character, like, in Japanese wrestling was, like, evil Nazi wrestler.
Oh, my God. Her and Teela Tequila should hang out.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Teela Tequila does it. We're all like, you shouldn't do that. Japanese culture, I think they're less apt to cancel you is what I'm saying.
You're probably right.
I think they're just like, yeah, it's a story. It's a... But the problem is Osama's the good guy in the Hamtaro movie.
I have no idea what the fuck you're smoking, that you connected this movie in any way with 9/11. And I think you need to go to a psychiatrist because you brought this up.
All I'm saying is...
What the fuck are the you
villain
talking
about? The villain of 9/11 is Osama bin Laden. That happened in 2001. 7 years later, they made a movie where the hero is named Osama. I would have named the hero Jake.
You're going to listen back to this podcast and be like, I sound so fucking dumb.
You're going to listen back to this podcast and be like, I was really riding herd on that Osama character in the Hamtaro book. They could have named him anything else. Any other, pick another name.
Listen, I just don't think, you know, the context of Hamtaro and who that's for.
You...
When you're declaring these political motivations.
I'm not saying there's political motive. I'm not.
You are saying that's political motivation.
I am not saying they were trying to sneak in dog whistle. I'm just saying if the hamsters traveled to Magic Italy and they met a cool guy named Mussolini, I would change the name to like Buongiorno or Mario or Luigi, like anything but Mussolini. You can understand how the name Mussolini kind of has some stink on it, right?
I mean, Asterius, you're implying that the hamster is named after Osama bin Laden, the terrorist that attacked the United States of America. How is that not political motivation? How is, like, I'm saying, you're arguing me that it's politically motivated. Literally, what is your definition of political motivation if this does not qualify?
I am not arguing it's politically motivated.
You are!
What I'm arguing is this. It's a very... very unfortunate coincidence that could have been easily corrected.
I don't think it was anything like that. I think Andre just made a mistake.
No, they said Osama in the Japanese audio track.
I'm looking this up.
Please do. You know what? I'm going to Osama's Ham Ham Heart page.
Yeah, go to Ham Ham. Jamie, pull up Ham Hampedia.
Welcome, Ham-chan Zoo. Yeah. 王様なの。なんでお城に住んでへんのや。王様は。では緊急生会議ということで王様どうぞ。代々の王様に手渡しされていると。王様に。Okay,
so you just heard all those clips of the hamster going, Osama, Osama, Osama. You heard those clips, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, turns out I was wrong. They're not saying Osama. They're saying, oh, dash, Sama.
Yeah, it's like an honorific.
Yeah, and according to this Wikipedia page on Japanese honorifics, Sama means like your lordship or your grace or your eminence. So I guess they're just kind of saying like, oh, great king, oh, great king. I mean, look, I don't know Japanese.
It's interesting that you really interpreted this as like a nod to 9/11.
I wasn't saying it was a nod to 9/11. I was just saying... you probably don't want the word Osama in your movie. Then also, why didn't they just call him Osan? Which, according to this thing, you know, is another honorific. Or Okun, which means master. Osenpai, which means senior. Osensei.
God. You're using all of these so wrong.
What? You're telling me these random words I'm reading off this Wikipedia page? I'm using it correctly?
Just close the page and stop confidently talking about this. Just say you were wrong and it wasn't a reference to 9/11. Holy fuck.
At no point did I say it was a reference to 9/11.
Okay, well, here's what
you... It's just a very unfortunate coincidence that's so... Oh, how soon they forget! You know what we said? Never forget! And yet, clearly we have here someone who forgets!
I wish I could forget this conversation.
All right, well, okay, look. Regardless of who's wrong, and we may never know, the important thing is this. It turns out it was all a dream.
The whole fucking thing.
Turns out the whole movie was a dream.
That's such bullshit. I hate these things.
Hamtaro was not left at home. Hamtaro actually went with her. And like a train leaves a tunnel. And then Hamtaro's like dreaming on the train. And the girl's like, oh, I wonder what this little hamster's dreaming about. Like, goddamn, this hamster's asleep. Like, look at him running around in his dreams and like jumping up and down in his dreams. He must be having like crazy dream adventures. And then you're like, oh, okay, the whole thing was a dream. But then Hamtaro starts snoring out golden magic bubbles, which are the same magic bubbles that the princess used to communicate with Hamtaro through the astral plane in the beginning of the movie when she was like, I'm having trouble here. I wish someone would rescue me. So it's kind of like an ending where it's like, it was a dream. Or was it? Boom! Hemtaro movie 2!
See, that makes sense why he was so inactive in it. It's like when you try to run in your dreams, yep. but you don't go anywhere and you just slip and fall over.
Yeah, exactly. And like why you could never tell what time it is in a dream.
You can never reject a marriage proposal from a hamster that comes on to you.
Yeah, or kind of like how you like fly around in like a magic flying limo that is also a boat in your dreams.
It turns out the lamp you needed the whole time to escape your dream was in the trunk.
Yeah, in your dream. Like, again, this is... It's very Jungian, which I really did enjoy. And I really did enjoy this Hamtaro movie. Hamtaro movie 2. Now, I know it doesn't star the big fat Hamtaro hamster that you prefer.
I do. I much prefer the big fat Hamtaro hamster. I hate the skinny Hamtaro. I hate that he has a neck. That's ridiculous.
At some point, they tried to make Hamtaro cuter. And what they ended up doing was making him far less cute. They tried to turn Hamtaro into kind of like a Sanrio character with like a giant head. Like Hello Kitty, huge head. You know what I mean? Like the original Hamtaro design is like the hamster's head and body are the same thickness. Like Hamtaro is built like a fridge and it's adorable. Like there's this fridge running around having adventures.
Exactly. He's supposed to be fat. He's not supposed to be skinny and look like a shonen character. He's supposed to be fat and obese. He needs nothing but sunflower seeds.
And then later on, you know, so they redo the Hamtaro hamster. So he's got these like big eyes and like this big head and this tiny body. And I don't know. I just wish he were obese is all.
I just wish he were obese too. I think we need to bring back r/chonkers. Are they still around?
I've never heard of r/chonkers.
Oh, you don't know what r/chonkers
no.
is? It's just a Reddit forum where people post their morbidly obese pets.
They post their unhealthy about to die pets?
Oh, yeah, like cats that are the size of basketballs.
Oh, that's...
Everybody gets upvoted. And then, but the only thing I see about r/chonkers now is like, on Instagram, I see posts like when r/chonkers feeds their cat an entire stick of butter and posts it for 10,000 updotes. Then it's like a dead animal.
Oh my God. Those chonkers may be dead, but my love for this second Hamtaro movie is very much alive. Now, you told me something about eating too many sunflower seeds that I think is very interesting because in this movie, they're constantly chowing down on sunflower seeds. Sunflower seeds, sunflower seeds, sunflower seeds. These hamsters, they love these sunflower seeds.
They surely do. But you know what doesn't like sunflower seeds? Your colon.
I'm sorry.
I saw a TikTok video about a girl who went to the hospital because she ate an entire bag of sunflower seeds, like shell and all. Which is like crazy, right? Because even the birds don't eat the shells. Well, I watched this video and then I did more investigation on the internet. It turns out this is a thing that happens not frequently, but sometimes a person will be so stupid that they eat an entire bag of sunflower seeds and it forms this massive like boulder in their guts because your body can't digest the shells, right? It's called the B-E-Z-O-A-R. Bezoar? How would you say that?
Bezoar.
Bezoar. It's called a Bezoar. And you can get it from sunflower seeds. So they give this lady a laxative. She goes to the hospital if she can't shit for 5 days. So she goes to the hospital and they give her a super laxative, like the laxative to end all laxatives. Nothing happens. So then they go up there with the camera and they see this big thing and they're like, oh my God, it's like Moby Dick. Is Moby Dick the whale?
Yeah.
I read the book. It's like seeing Moby Dick for the first time. They're like, oh my God, there it is. So they send in a bunch of things. They try to do an enema. They give her a bunch of laxatives. They try to like manually get it out. And it doesn't work. And then they send a camera back in and you can see that instead of just a big ball, now it's just a flattened, sharpened. It's like, imagine if you took broken glass and you made it into pavement and then you paved the inside of your asshole with that. So what they had to do, and it's like every time she touches it, it's like shitting glass, right? Because these shells, there's like micro shards everywhere. So what they had to do is they had to go in there and like scoop it out. Isn't that gross?
They had to manually extract a giant ball of glass out of this lady's butt?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And that's what happens to the Hamtaro hamsters every time they go to the bathroom?
That's how my hamster died.
Oh my God! Well, listeners, ideally you will never suffer a Bezoar, but ideally you enjoyed this episode of The Loudest Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed our recap of Hamtaro Movie 2 and our general thoughts on the Hamtaro universe. Rancho, is there any, before we go, is there anything else you want to say about the Hamtaro hamsters?
Yeah, I would recommend Hamtaro 10 out of 10. Thank you to Ham Ham Paradise, the best website on the internet. Like, just an old school autism passion project. And whoever put that up there, I really thank you for it.
I'm looking at how many, there's like 400 episodes of Hamtaro, like that they made in Japan. They made so much goddamn Hamtaro. And they made all these Hamtaro movies. And in America, we barely got any of it.
Right.
So if you got kids, and if they're looking for anime that's not full of the disgusting stuff that I assumed anime was full of, you might enjoy Hamtaro. You put it on for these kids. They're running around. They're making a little clubhouse. They're getting into tiny little adventures. They're having a good time. Just like the good time we hope you had here on the Loudest Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.